Sing this little chorus, Brother Tyler.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Can you sing one more time? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. All in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
Got your Bibles, you can turn with me over to the 10th chapter of John, 10th verse. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So tonight, just want to discuss something with you for just a little bit. Tomorrow, I think some of you leave maybe tomorrow night on the bus going up to Missouri. I'm trusting the Lord will bless us in the meeting. We're still getting some real good reports from our Sulphur Wells, Kentucky meeting. As a matter of fact, we got a letter today, kind of an unusual letter of a couple that we don't know that was in the meeting. Sent me a knife. Was it a white pearl handle knife? Some kind of badge or something. I don't know what it was. I don't hardly how to describe it, but anyway. Same about an anniversary, so for that. And this girl, I believe, said that she'd never been able to get her husband to go with her to listen to the ministry. And on this particular occasion, somehow she got him to go and said he was in the service and said he hath never been the same since. And he's changed his life. Said after hearing the word of the Lord, it really done something to him. And he was the one that sent me this little gift. Tonight, we just mentioned a few little things to you. Midweek service, still, I can tell in the midweek service that we got a lot of people staying out of church, and there isn't any reason for it. I talked to David Paul, and David said, Dad, there's no reason for those people not to come to church. Said, we're definitely not keeping them on the job like that. So what are they doing? They're doing on their own. And it only goes to show that everything is narrowing down. And even many of them at Bethlehem just are not born again. And they just don't have the goods. And they don't have the interest in the things of God. And the Bible said just before the coming of the Lord, there'd be a great falling away. And evidently, we're in it because everywhere you go, the same thing is happening. People are becoming real sporadic as far as going to church. They don't have any system to their life anymore to go to the house of God. They don't have any system in their life anymore to pay their bills or to keep their words as to commitment with their fellow man as far as the natural life is concerned. They don't have any integrity with their wives or with their husbands anymore or with their children. Women are running all around to the bars. And men are just going everywhere, just doing awful. And it's just a real mess. No government. The Bible said the last days they'd be despisers of government. It's evident that one of the reasons they're despising government in the day that we're living in is because the government is so corrupt. And they also despise government to the extent that government is a form of control. And spiritually speaking, people don't like government. They don't like their lives to be controlled. They want to be loose and do whatever they want to do. And the Bible said they'd heap them themselves teachers, their own teachers, having itchy ears, and that they would not endure the truth. They'd not have a love for the truth, and there would be a famine for the hearing of the word of the Lord. So even though we have them to come in and fill up, as we say, but as to a regularity of coming to church, as to a systematic thing, they want to drop off. They want to come maybe once a week or just in and out, just whenever they get ready. And they still want Christ. They want the benefits of God. They want eternal life. They want God to watch over them and their loved ones. They want the blessings of God. But I can assure you that they won't get it. I can assure you they won't get it. They've got to have it in their hearts. They've got to have it in their hearts. You know, if you're sick, you're out of the house of the Lord. That's to be understood. There's occasions where the Lord might keep you out to send you to somebody, or you might do something for God. There might be something where you're rerouted. Sometimes here we have one or two that goes over to the prisons and they're doing things there on a circuit ride, and they might not get back in time. And then we have some that might go and don't come back as far as when they get home to come to church, even they do get here on time. But nevertheless, there are those that the Bible speaks of as always being, and that is the few. Like in the days of Gideon, when he chose a great army to go do a job, the Lord said, take them down to the waters and I want to reprove them. And when God selects people, he puts you through a little course and he starts proving you. And if you prove out right, then you are his elect. Whereas the Bible said, many are called, but few are chosen. So the call goes out to let whosoever will, but the chosen are the elect. So he chooses out of all that comes. Esau came to repentance, Jacob came to repentance, and God chose who he wanted. Cain came to offer his offering. He was churchy. And so did Abel, but God chose who he wanted. And so it is. It's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the faithful few of Gideon that remained, that was what God wanted. So he narrowed them down. In the days of Noah, he narrowed them down until there was just one man with one family left. The days of Sodom and Gomorrah, he narrowed it down until just a few people came out. The days when he crossed the Jordan, let the earth open up and swallowed them up, and he narrowed it down. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's narrowing it down. Everything's coming down to the, we call this in the world, the nitty-gritty. So it's coming right down to the proving line, and God is proving them, and they're dropping off. And the Bible says, because iniquity doth abound, then many will fall away. Many will fall away, and their love will wax cold. So the love of the world is greater and greater. And religious people, though they are religious, they really don't have anything. They really don't have any hunger for the word, nor the hunger for the spirit, nor hunger for holiness in their life, nor hunger to talk about the things of God, nor to fellowship in the things of God. It's just a social thing with them, or it's just a consolation of going to church, knowing that the preacher will say something and then they'll feel better because they went to church. And when they go out all day long, they hardly think about God or talk about God. When they're commanded to meditate in his laws day and night, and when they're commanded that they should bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Jesus Christ, and as in the early church, they were daily from house to house breaking bread with singleness of heart. And the Bible teaches that they kept their minds continually on God. He that keepeth his mind stayed up in Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. So then we know that we're narrowing down to the end time. And whether it's little Bethlehem or wherever it's at around the world, only the little flock, the faithful few, or those that he hath appointed for the kingdom shall be able to make it into the kingdom of God. So I warn you again as a shepherd, to be ready, to be watching, because it's like here. If every one of you die and go into the fire, and if I serve God, I'll be saved. If everyone dies and goes to hell and you serve God, you'll be saved. It doesn't matter. God isn't going to count numbers. He's not in the multitude. He's not in numbers. The thing that upset him with David of old was that David began to number his strength after he'd done give David so many victories without numbering. And it even disturbed Joab, his leader, because he knew that better than that. But David was backslid on God, doing the evil, wretched things he was doing. And it caused him so much heartache and sorrow and death continually and war continually, because he had stooped to such evil, evil, filthy things. On the run all the time. See, that's the mark of sin. God, no respect to person. But there was one thing about David. He did not have the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and you do. And that makes the difference. So then it's required of us more. It's required of us that we're not to do those things. We are supposed to have the strength, being strengthened by the power and the might of the inner man, that we should overcome. And we can't take the consolation like some preachers and some people do by saying, well, David was a man after God's own heart and he'd done these things and God loved him. It is true that you might do some of those things, and it is true you might get into the kingdom of God, but it is true that God will burn your fields with fire. He'll burn your barley fields, as Brother Jack Coe used to preach. He'll burn your barley fields, and when he gets through with you, you'll well pay for everything that you ever done. So take my advice and do right. Take my advice, meditate in the things of God. Take my advice and follow after the things of God, even the riches of the world. The ministers warned, O thou man of God, flee these things and lay hold on eternal life. For many following after the things of the world have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So don't go that route. They're falling everywhere. The stars are falling like we said they would, and the lights are going out. The more the lights go out as to those reflectors, the brighter your light shines, for the darker it gets, and the brighter you're seen. I would say all the world will come to your shining. Let me comment a little bit here. It says here that the thief comes to rob and to steal and to kill and destroy. Now, I'm not going to try to take long tonight, but I'm going to try to bring forth just a little bit of something that will be beneficial to you as always. And trust that you could get it. Asking you before I do that be careful if you go up to Missouri. I think y'all are traveling at night. Betty and I probably won't be leaving until Friday morning. We're planning to fly. We decided to drive, but the last trip we took all the way to Arizona, went in the car, and this time we decided to fly up, fly back. Right along about the last, I felt that we were to do it, even though we were planning to go in the car. So be careful, and each one try to watch the other. You're your brother's keeper. Try to help watch. Try to pray. Ask the Lord to protect. Go in full strength to ask the blessings of the Lord. We had a good meeting. The last time we was up there, we had a full house and a good meeting, and I trust the Lord will bless us this time. Now, see, the Lord Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he blesses you yesterday and don't bless you today, it's not because of him, it's because of you. Always remember that. So now listen real close tonight, and it might be helpful as to the few little things that we say to you. It might be encouraging, it might be helpful, might be eye-opening, or at any rate, as we say, it will strengthen your faith and help you to understand better. That's what the minister's for the perfecting of your faith, to furnish that which is lacking, so that you can see better through the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depth, and the width, and the length of this great, marvelous thing. Now, I'm going to ask a question here, kind of ask a question, answer it. As the writer said, disturb your pure mind. Your pure mind is the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, it was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Didn't try to make of himself a reputation. This mind is what God wants you to have because you're the body of the Lord Jesus. As to what measure of this mind, that's up to you. Think on this now. I ask you the question tonight. Do we know the will of God? So many people come to me with a regularity, whether on the home front or wherever I go, and they'll say, well, I just don't know the will of God. I just don't understand God. And I ask the question, do you know the will of God? Are you sure you understand God? The Bible said in the last days, they that know their God shall do mighty exploits. You can never do anything for God unless you know God. First of all, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means you must believe there is a God, and you must believe that if you do what you're supposed to do, that God will reward you. If you do not believe God's going to reward you, it doesn't matter how much works that you put forth, you're not going to receive any benefit. You can fast all you want to. You can pray all you want to. You can study till you can memorize the Bible. You can try to live a perfect, holy, godly, overcoming life, but you're not going to reap anything whatsoever. Because he that cometh to God must believe. That's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You get whatever you get from God by faith. It has nothing to do with what you can do. It has all to do with what he's already done in Christ. And as I've said so many times, your works, your efforts is nothing but a submission as to become partakers of the benefit of that which he hath done by submission and conforming to or assuring your heart to a confidence that he hears you, that you might enjoy these wonderful benefits. All right, so then when I ask of you, I say, then do you know the will of God? Do you know God? Do you believe there is a God? Do you believe there is a supernatural power that's ever present above you and you and through you as a Christian? Do you know that God is with you wherever you go, that in him we have our being, we are alive, we're motivated, we move by the wonderful glory of God and the strength of God, and that he upholds all things? The stars hang in the sky because of God. Now, do you believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? One would say, well, why should I believe that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, Brother Pike? Because this is what he said. And the Bible teaches that we're to believe the word, because faith cometh by the hearing of the word. And this is the thousands of promises to us as to a benefit so that we can believe. This is the promised land. And so then when these promises are given to us daily through the ministry, or as to the Spirit bringing these things to our remembrance and that we've been taught these things, then do we believe in the promises? Do we believe in the word? Do we actually believe these things? If not, then it's no benefit to us. The Bible speaks of the word of God as to the Jews in the early time, saying that they had the word of God, but not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard it. So you must mix faith with it. So then, do we believe in the word? The one proof of believing in the word, and the only true proof, is that you act upon the word. When you act upon the word, this is proof that you believe the word. Now, I know you can make believe, you know, and play a game, but in sincerity, if you act upon the word, that is proof. The writer said, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you faith by works. You show me your faith by no practice. Tell me how you're going to do that. How are you going to show me what you believe by not acting upon what you say you believe, or doing what you believe? As I say, if you're a hunter, you'll hunt. If you're a fisherman, you'll fish. If you're a gossiper, you'll talk. So you'll gossip, that is. So when we say we believe something and we make an effort altogether in a different direction, there's something wrong. When we say we believe in God, but we go everywhere but to church, there's something wrong. When we say we're on our way to heaven and we go everywhere but with the saints of God and toward the work of Christ, as to be daily, daily active in winning souls and helping the poor and needy, then there's something wrong. When we say we love the Lord with all of our heart, but all we talk about is something to eat and something to buy and somewhere to go and who we are and our career and our future and what we want to be in our businesses, and all the time our mind is preoccupied with these things, there's something wrong. It's evident that the love of the world is still in you, and the love of the Father isn't there, and that you're confessing God with your lips, but your heart is off from Him. You know, a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, doesn't the Bible say that what a man speaketh cometh from his heart? If I say the Lord, I love the Lord. Isn't that coming from my heart? I said, well, sure. I say, I love the Lord. I said, Brother John Jameson, I love the Lord. Now, John said, well, that's coming from your heart. I'd say, well, praise God. That's right. That's the Bible. But he could look at me and he'd say, you just lied. I'd say, well, what do you mean? He said, well, the child's known by his doings. Your doings don't prove that you're concerned about God. I said, but that come from my heart. He'd say, sure, from your heart you lied. So see, it depends on understanding what God says. It is true that what you speak comes from your heart. You can tell the truth from your heart or you can lie from your heart. Out of the heart come forth evil thoughts of adultery and fornication and blaspheming, lying and cheating and swindling and all these things. See, so when you believe with your heart unto righteousness, confession from your heart, by lips unto salvation, you've got to be sure the heart is confessing the right thing. God is the high priest of our confession. That is, he's already wrought everything God has in Christ, and now it's available for us, and whatever we can believe, it's automatically confessed to the Father that you are eligible for. So then I say to you, I say, do you believe in God? You say, well, I do. I say, well, show me your faith. You say, well, just look what I do every day. Watch where I go every day. Listen to my conversation every day. So then the child is known by his doings. And then I say, well, that's great. Now, I say, do you know the will of God? And you would say, well, I do. And then I meet you one day, and you're talking about the problems, the problems, the problems, the problems. I meet you the next day, and I perceive your thoughts as Jesus did. He perceived them in his spirit, and all you can think about is problems and defeats and woes and all the things that's happening to you. And then I see you a week later, and in conversation with somebody, and everything is despair, everything is negative, there's no victory, there's no testimony of anything as to God's ability. I say, well, you apparently don't know the will of God. And then you would say, well, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean that as many times as I've told you as saints of God here, that is static, that is negative, that is dead, that is the uncontrollable, that is the unharnessed, that is that which is without, that is that it interferes with the clear channel of God's word and spirit, which is directly from here to heaven. Like our writer said, telephone to glory. Telephone to glory, a direct line to heaven. So I say, all of that is dead. You're crucified. You're dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. You're not supposed to listen to that. And like I told some of the fellows this morning, I met them as they were going off to work. I didn't mean to do that. I tired a little bit. Didn't go down there. A lot of times I go down and I catch them before they ever get ready for work. And they're down in the basement sometime before daylight or about daylight. And this morning I thought I'd just kind of walk around outside. But when I went to go down, I met them. And they were coming out. And I was talking to them. I saw the Lord intend for me to talk to them. And I talked to them. And I tried to pass a few things on to them. See, to explain to them that in the mornings when you wake up, you're not going to wake up as a rule like a little buttercup that just opened to the sunshine or like a daisy in the sunlight. You're not going to wake up feeling, you know, just lovely and sweet. You're not going to do that. As you've gone down through life, you're not going to do that. Somebody says, well, I get up feeling pretty good. Well, that's fine. That's good. Share it with others. But as a rule, you're not going to do that. People don't do that. As a matter of fact, some says, don't even talk to me till I get my coffee. So they are pretty grumpy in the morning. But see, here's what we got to remember, folks, is when we get up in the morning, we've got to remember, number one, that this body has not been changed. Though it is the purchased possession, though the price is paid, though it's dead, though God does not receive any of its misbehavior, in the sense of error, of stumbling or staggering, as long as our inner will and desire is not behind it. And he accounts for that as Lucifer. That is to say, Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? For inwardly I want to do good, and I see another law that's present. When I would do good, evil is present with me. I can't get rid of it. I can't shake it. It's just there. The very days are evil. He said, and I see this thing as a continual warfare. As inwardly I want to do good, and something outwardly is just pressing the life out of me, which we know to be the five human senses that's subjected to the vanity of the world, which is of the body, that Satan is the prince of the powers of the world, the god of darkness, and this world is darkness, and ye shine his lights in this world. See, the old intellectual darkness. And so then it's pressing you. When you wake up in the morning, you automatically know the mud is on the water. Like I've told this a number of times, when I was a little boy, we lived up on a hill, and I had to go down the way to get some water. And all we had was a spring. And I'd take my bucket. I'd go down the hill with my bucket, whether it was the old wooden bucket or whether it was the galvanized bucket with a little handle on it. Coming down off of the hill was a beautiful little place going down amid the trees. It was just beautiful little trail under the trees and where the leaves was falling in the fall or springtime. You know, it'd be so pretty down through there. But any time I went down to the well, there it was, just a flat place with the spring, the well. And I would go there, and I would have to dip over in there to get my water. When I put the bucket down there, there was no way I could dip down in there without getting the bucket full of leaves. And there was bugs on the top of it, all kind of things. But see, it was a lovely spring. And down under there, it was just water, lovely and pure and clear, bubbling all the time. But for me to get the water to where it would be clean, I had to take my bucket and dip it all the way below the surface and just a little of the handle left here to keep and get my hand into it. And then when it went down, I'd come up real quick like, and everything on the top would just push off like that. And when I come out, my bucket would be full of good cold water, fresh, no bugs, no leaves, no nothing. In the morning, though you are a well of salvation, you are a well. And the Bible said you are wells of salvation. And you can draw water out of this well. See, and it's deep. And the Bible says that this deep is calling to that deep. You don't know where the Spirit is in here. You can't find it. It's deep as to understanding. And then the deep understanding there, which is God, like the deep calling to the deep at the water has spout of God, or the deep searching out the deep, or launch out into the deep things of God. See, and you're the water spout of God, and the deep is calling to the deep at the water spout of God, whose water spout ye are, that out of your innermost beings flows rivers of living water. So you're there, see, and here you can draw the water out with joy. With joy. All of these diseases, all of these problems, all of these things come upon you because you do not serve the Lord with joyfulness of heart. Serving God is joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. See, and when you are grumpy, and when you're all cast down, and when you're negative in your mind, and when you're doing all these things that's so contrary to joy, peace, and righteousness, you're not serving God. You're not serving God at all. You're serving the devil. See, and you're giving your strength to the devil. You're giving your believing to the devil, and the faith that should be the power to release you and bring you the benefits, it's exactly in reverse as called unbelief, and it's drawing all of the problems. The bugs are on the outside because this body is not changed. It's still subject to the beetles and the bugs. That is the parasite, the demons, and all these things that trouble you. Though it's already the purchased possession, he purchased it at Calvary by his blood. It's already paid for. It's without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. It's just dead because of sin, because it's been infiltrated, and it's just laying there in that grave, that watery grave. It's laying there. See, and it's no good to you right now as to what the body can do for you
unless you accept the baptism of what is called circumcision, of putting off the old and bringing forth the new and being a new creature. And as you have been in this world to yield your members to sin and to corruption, now yield your members unto righteousness as those that are alive from the dead, because sin cannot work in your mortal body anymore. Don't let Satan reign in your members anymore, as with his threats, with all of his static, with all the problem. Don't listen to it anymore. Just take the bucket, bring it up, throw all of that off. See, get under the shower, wash all the filth away, and be a new creature. And confess the body of the Lord Jesus at the right hand of the Father. When Satan comes and he tries to tell you anything, you're at the right hand of the Father. And that you could not perform in your body, as Paul said, Christ was that performance. He performed the bodily part and resurrected from the dead, and he purged the bodily part. He's the garment that you put on when you're baptized into Christ. You put on Christ, because in being baptized, you died by Calvary. You was buried, and your spirit is bodiless. And you are a bodiless spirit until you put on Christ. And when you come out of there, you are now the bodily members of the Lord Jesus Christ, flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. So when you come out of there, that means that you're a new creature. You're also in a new world. For you're resurrected from the dead, and the wound of Mother Earth has turned you loose, and now you are in heaven. For Jesus is dwelling in heaven, and we're his body. Therefore, we now dwell in heaven, not us living but him. And the life we now live, even in our flesh, Paul said, we live it by the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. So then our faith is altogether in Christ, and our performance is at the right hand of the Father. We're now without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. The inner man has been sealed completely by the Spirit of God, translated into the kingdom, and this outer man that has not been changed has been purchased by the blood of Calvary, and we wait patiently for the change, because Satan, who is a spirit, Lucifer, his fallen angels, his workers, those demon spirits can never touch you as to the spiritual enter man, because you're sealed by the interwoven safeguard of the great Holy Spirit. And you are eternal, you are spotless, you are sinless, you cannot sin, you are sealed forever. And the outer man, Satan probes at it because he doesn't like you. He doesn't like you because it is repulsive to him, because you act like Jesus and talk like Jesus and you want to sing like Jesus, and he does everything he can to make you sad and to afflict you and to cause you problems in that your body hasn't been changed. He knows that he can't make you sin. So what he tries to do is like a spider with a web, bind you to where you can't fly anymore. That is, you're not buoyant anymore. You're not enjoying the wonderful presence of God anymore. You're just bound up by the traditions of men and the ideology of the world. The Bible said, touch not, taste not, that whereby the soul is to perish after the using of the commandments and doctrines of men. So then we're free from all these things. Don't turn again and get in the mire. For the Bible said, do you desire again to be in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world? See, yield your members, even your senses, as that is the body of Christ. See, and rejoice in the Lord always, as Paul said. And again I say rejoice. 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 See, serving God is joy. Let the joy come out. Draw water out of the wells of salvation. Wash away the bugs. Wash away all the parasites. Every morning, through the night, and keep those things pushed back. And get that mind stirred up that brings you joy, that little fountain that's bubbling. And get that started, singing and praising God. And after a while, your faith is like a radiant light. You flip the switch, and there it is, and the light is shining. And then it begins to run through your bloodstream as to the quickening. It begins to go into your blood cells, that this innermost life, that this treasure, the mind of Christ that you have in these earthen vessels, begins to be made manifest in your mortal gene, and you find healing and happiness and all these kind of things. Jesus suffered at Calvary, took all these things for you. He was wounded for your transgressions. Don't let Satan tell you about your transgressions. What kind of transgressions do you have? It said he was wounded for your transgressions. This is not as it would be as of Adam, as to one sin of a man and all under death. But this is as of many stumblings and staggerings, faults and failures unto righteousness. So then that means that he not only forgave your past sins, but your present sins and your future sins. So he took away your sins. When he fulfilled the law, every jot and tittle, and he took the law away, Paul said, we therefore conclude that a man is justified by the grace of God through faith, and that without the deeds of the law. Because where there's no law, there's no transgression. Wherever the law is, it worketh wrath, and Israel was under the wrath of God. Now that's forever gone. Now you can't transgress the law, you can't break the law, you can't sin. Therefore you cannot die, and sin is the transgression of the law. Where is your transgressions? He fulfilled every jot and tittle and said, it is finished. Folded it up and laid it away, finished your faith. And he said, he was bruised for your iniquities. Where then is your iniquities? What happened to your iniquities? Daniel tells us that he came in the image of iniquity. In iniquity did my mother conceive me. He came in the image of iniquity, and he done away with my iniquity by doing away with the image that was born of Adam. I am no more of the image that was born of Adam. I am no more of that that is under death. I am no more of that that is under sorrow and sickness and poverty. I am no more of that that I was in my birth. My first birth, I am not growing older to die. I am now young and born again, and I am growing stronger and more powerful to rule with a rod of iron, to have eternal riches and power and splendor and magnificence. Someone would say, oh, come the day. Friend, it's already come. Now, beloved, are ye the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what ye shall be as to the change of the body. But we know that when he appears in his body, we shall be like him, because that's us sitting at the right hand of the Father. And all I could not do, he did for me. When I could not fulfill the law because I'm carnal and I'm sold unto sin, and I could not fulfill the law, then he came in that body of restoration, fulfilled every jot and tittle, blameless, no sin, took my place, and now I am him. He was me. He died out of the presence of the Father. Now I am him to live ever in the presence of the Father. He is spotless. He is blameless. He is without fault. You can't lay anything to his charge. The Bible said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God has justified us, see. Jesus sanctified us by his body. We are alive forevermore. No one can lay anything to our charge. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against thee in the day of judgment shall be condemned. He won't receive an accusation. Satan, the accuser of the brethren, has been cast out. Out of your heart, he is in the world. See, and your body is dead, so no matter what he does to your body, it's never charged against you. If he causes you to stumble, it doesn't make any difference. I remind you once again, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. I ask the question again. Is there such people in the earth that God will not impute sin unto? First of all, there is, to this extent, where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. But then with you and I, being born again, we don't have any knowledge of sin. We don't have any conscience of sin. First of all, we have no knowledge of sin, because the Bible said, in this world, there's no remembrance of former things. For I will cast all into outer darkness to never be remembered against you again. See, and he doesn't look beyond the blood, and your iniquities and sins are gone and covered by the blood. And then you are innocent as a little child. Jesus said, lest you become as this little child, being born again, as to the innocency, his spirit, his angelic being, is still in heaven. Jesus said, I'm still in heaven. We are that Jesus. We are that body. We are that one that dwells in heaven. So then, when he looks at us, can he impute sin unto us? Where is our sins? Where is our trespasses? Where is our transgressions? Does he look beyond the blood to see those things? or are they gone? They're gone. See, and we are the apple of God's eye. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, why doesn't he just take us on home and just rapture us out of the world? Translate us. He did. He did before we were ever born into the world. Being in his loins, we're still with him. Jesus said, always, always, you're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I came from heaven, I go back to heaven, I'm in heaven. So here we are, the body of the Lord Jesus. We were in heaven, we are in heaven. We go back to heaven, he says, go back for their sake. See, so here we are. All right, rapture us, translate us. Where would he translate us to? He's already translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. Where would he take us to? We're already those that dwell in heaven. Rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven. So, then what is this? It is a preaching of a mind that was before the world ever was, as to the benefits. God, even God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no yesterday, today, tomorrow. With God, it's just the one great, wonderful day. The day that the Lord has made. We've always been in his day. We was before the world ever was. And he said, Job, where was you when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God leaped for joy? See, in his foreknowledge, there we were. Jacob have I loved. So then, where are we? Have we ever been out of his presence? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Greet my women workers whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. So what then are we doing? We're on a journey from Egypt to Canaan. And it's a journey of faith into the promised land. Into the promised land. We're moving through the wilderness of intellectual frustration. We're fighting against the serpents. We're looking on the brazen serpent of the body of Jesus that condemned that by the first body of the man Adam, of that fell through the evil of the serpent of the beast, smitten at Calvary, out of the presence of God, dead, gone. That old image, we're that no more. The cocoon is gone. The metamorphosis of the butterfly, here we are in heavenly places. So then, do we know God? Do we understand God? Do we know what God's will is for us? Where is our transgressions? Where is all these wrongs? All right. So the question arises. I come as your minister. You come to me, you say, well, what is the will of God, Brother Pike? I'd say, well, my, there it is, the Word of God. You'd say, but Brother Pike, there's thousands of things in the Word of God. I'd say, sure, that's the will of God. Then you'd be all confused. You'd be all frustrated. That's why there's a minister. Now, that's why he's a minister. Now, here's the way to simplify it. Say, what is the will of God? I'd say, well, do you believe the word of God is his will? He would say, well, sure. I'd say, aren't you saved by believing the word? He'd say, well, sure. I said, didn't the Bible say he sent his word and healed them? By his word he cast out the unclean spirit. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word said, let there be, and there came to be. And existence came forth. Then I would say, well, now, if this is the will of God, then doesn't the Bible say that the word was made flesh, dwelt among men, and we beheld it as the glory of God and the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth? And then he would say, well, sure. I'd say, well, do you believe Jesus was the Word of God? He'd say, well, sure. I'd say, well, part of the Word of God? He'd say, well, no. The Bible said that God giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure, but he was the temple of God. The fullness of God was in Jesus. And he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily, no other body. Then I would say, well, you believe that that is the Word? And you say you believe the Word is the will of God? And you would say, well, sure. I'd say, all right, now here we are in John 10:10. And here is the word. And the word is standing there. And the word says, the thief, Satan, he come but for to steal and to kill. I give you children. He takes them. See, I give you life. Satan takes it with diseases, problems, wrecks, whatever. I give you happiness. I give you peace. I give you all these things as with Adam and Eve. Everything. But Satan started stealing at the garden. He's still stealing. He's still trying to get into that body, get control of that body, to where they can stay out of the dry places and the tormenting places. I say, now, see, here he stands, the will of God. And what is the will of God saying? He's saying, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. And the word abundantly means filled up and overflowing. Now, what is the will of God? Life, abundantly, filled up and overflowing. Life, no sickness, no sorrow, no poverty, no troubles, nothing to interfere with anything that we're doing. That's the will of God. He's the will of God. He is expressing himself. God is expressing himself as through his word, his will, saying, have faith in me. Have faith in me. He that believeth in me is passed from death unto life. That is, he that believeth in the word. He that believeth on the word that the Father sent. I'm the word. And I say that I've come that you might have life filled up and overflowing. Then what should we do? Someone would say, well, I believe that. Well, why do you act like you act? Why do you talk like you talk? Why do you think like you think? Why don't you want to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of life abundantly? Like the song we wrote, life abundantly. Why did you come into the world, Jesus? Well, I can think of a lot of reasons. You come to die. You come to be beaten. You come to suffer. You come to leave me an example. You come to do all these things. See, but really, why did you come? He testifies of it himself. I am come, and this is my purpose, that you might have life filled up and overflowing. Say, but I've already got life, a breath of life. But I've come that you might have life filled up and overflowing. And that little breath you've got, even if you are a young boy, a young girl, you may lose it any time. Any time. But if you don't, if you make it to be a grown-up, then you'll lose it. You're on death row. You don't really have life. You just have a breath of life. See, when the Lord breathed into the nostrils, they received the breath of life. But when Jesus resurrected from the dead, he breathed upon them and they received life because they received the Holy Ghost. He breathed on them as to the second man and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And they received the Holy Ghost. Life, God, on the inside, the same Holy Ghost that created the blood cell that was in Jesus' blood is now in our blood. That same life, that eternal life, life abundantly. And it's up to us to submit to it, to conform to it, take this contrary body. Not that my body is contrary to the extent that my body would be contrary by the act of creation, but contrary because it's infiltrated with the evils of my human senses that's in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world. And there's a contrary devil, there's evil spirits always gnawing at me, and when I would do good, evil is always present because my body is still subject to the vanities of the world, not having been changed. And though it isn't charged against me, Satan is always on his job, always trying to tear down, always trying to cause trouble. So then, what is the will of God? It is that you have life filled up and overflowing. I would, above all things, achieve, prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. I'd like to make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'd like to feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I'd like for my blessing to make you rich and add no sorrow. I'd like for you to be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters to bring forth your fruit in your season, your leaves to never wither. That is, I don't want you to die. I didn't plant you to die. I wanted you to live forever. And you got the river of life on the inside of you, and you are a tree of life. As to Jesus being that word, that life, that tree of life. And you can produce life, and you can preserve life, and you are eternal within yourself. Say what you will. Expedite the cause. Do the things that are expedient. Do the things that edify. And grow in the grace and knowledge to the full measure. Perfect holiness in the body. See, manifest holiness. Somebody said, well, that's where I just get off board right there, Brother Pike. It's all right. You know, I like life. I like to eat, drink, buy, sell, go, live forever. But when you talk about this thing called holiness, well, see, that's where you all mixed up. Somebody said, I'm not a holy roller, and this holiness, this religion thing is what gets me. Well, it just so happens that true religion is holiness, and holiness is the only spirit of life abundantly.
God is the Spirit of holiness. He is the Holy Ghost, life abundantly. And where there's no holiness, there is no life. And the reason that you're absent of life right now in your body is you're not putting enough holiness into your body to preserve it. Paul said, I want to present you to God as a chaste virgin, preserving you body, soul, and spirit. And holiness is God, and God is life. And this is why the world is void of life with all their religious attire, all of their efforts, all of the tables are filled with vomit. They'll never have life. They can't even see life when life cometh. They're too carried away with the natural benefits, desire, hungers and thirst inwardly and in their body toward the things of the world. And wanting life and wanting youth and wanting strength, they've missed it all. But we who have Christ, we have it all. So then, these few little words tonight, just to try to encourage you, to rewrite your mind, to make you think right, that you might enjoy things as to the benefit of God. If you have any sufferings, let it be because you submit your body to God. As the Bible spoke of those that submitted themselves to God that was nigh unto death, because they spared not their body for the sake of Christ. Or as Paul, when God said, I'm going to show you what great things you'll suffer for my name's sake, Paul, that is, he chose me to reveal Christ in my life, and Christ is revealed through suffering. And let it be a willing submission as to a love for your fellow man, as to the body of Christ, that you might suffer for the sake of others in self-denial and sharing with others or doing unto others or helping others or esteeming others better than yourself or looking on the things of the other. That's the Spirit of Christ that was in the body of the Lord Jesus that washed Peter's feet. He was the king, but he left him an example. And humility is to put the body down, to mortify the deeds of the flesh, to keep it down, because Satan is wanting to raise it up. And the only way you can defeat Satan is to put it down. And that way, consider it dead. Consider yourself dead to the things of the world. Withdraw from it. Let it stay dead. Let it stay inactive, except as to the dispensing of the Spirit of God through it, or your members yielded to righteousness. See, and this way, you stay under the body. You keep it under subjection as a proof that Christ is within you. And then that keeps Satan from using it. And then after a while, like that, it'll go through the chains. And why, what a day that will be. Songwriter said, what a day that will be when my Savior I shall see, when I look upon his face. So, we're getting closer, closer. Let's stand together. Just a few little thoughts. I hope that they find a lodging place in your heart. Night's getting darker, darker and darker. And your light is showing brighter and brighter and brighter. So then, as you move on into the wonderful things of God, then remember these words. His will for you. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? Someone would say, well, I'm not good enough. Good enough? The Bible said he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, which means made them perfect. I would think if you're perfect, that's good enough. That's the best you can be. And you would say, well, Brother Pike, I just can't feel like I'm one of them. All because of unbelief. Because the Bible said, let whosoever will come. He's no respect of person. And it's not my will that even the wicked should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life. So, you said, but I, what about male or female? In Christ, there's neither. He never thinks of you like that. God created Adam. Adam was both male and female. To God, you're but one. And that is in Christ Jesus, his body. So, what can we say? If God be for you, who can be against you? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Let's sing a little chorus together. As I journey through the land, I keep singing as I go. Pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within.
But my Lord goes ahead through him. Can you sing amen? Oh, I want to see him. The pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart shall see God. Forever on the Savior, on the streets of glory, oh, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see my Lord. The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. What is the will of God for your life? Life filled up and overflowing. How do I get this life? By obedience to the wonderful Word of God. That's the proof of your faith. Your faith moves you to do what pleases God. And when you do the thing that pleases God, the Bible said, hereby you assure your heart. Then out of that heart arises a confidence that God hears you. And then when you know that you have fellowship with God and God hears you, you've got life abundantly filled up and overflowing. Oh, I'd like to see him and look upon his face. There to sing forever of this saving grace. On the streets of glory, oh, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last. Can you sing it one more time? Oh, I'd like to see him look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, oh, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, and never to rejoice. Let's sing this little chorus we sing the other night, Brother Taylor. Shut in with God in his secret place, there in his presence, beholding his face, gaining new courage just to run in the race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Sing that again, can you? We're shut in with God in the secret place. There in his presence, the world don't see us, beholding his face, gaining new courage just to run in this race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God. Just one more time. We are shut in with God. Life abundantly. Have you got it? Can you feel it? Do you believe in it? Is your thoughts like that? Is your thought pattern like that? Is your thought pattern negative? Are you saying, as you breathe a breath, a sigh of relief, saying, hallelujah, it's true. We're not playing a game. That's the word that spoke the world into existence. That's true. That's believing. That's believing to acknowledge the truth. Oh my God, I'm alive forever. I've got life abundantly. Hallelujah. Not going to happen. It already did. Somebody say praise the Lord. So we're shut in with God in the secret place. There in his presence, beholding his face, gaining new courage just to run in this race. Oh, I long to be shut in with God.
All right, let's sing this little chorus. We're going to let you go in just a few minutes. A little chorus I really like.
Gone. And the stone is, remember now, the law is gone. The stony heart is taken away. See, it was an engraving in stones. Jesus came and said, now I'm going to take out that heart of stone, Israel. You've been on it all this time. The law works rad. Can't penetrate hard-hearted people. Grumbling, mumble, couldn't get into the Canaan land. To the children, he said, I'm going to take out the heart of stone. Now, I'm going to place within you my heart. You're going to be bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I'm going to place within you a heart of flesh. And at this time, I'm going to write my laws upon the table of your heart. And my love is going to constrain you. And you're going to walk in my ways all the days of your life. All the days of your life. I'm going to take care of everything. And my love. My love. Faith worketh by love. My love is going to take care of it. And where sin doth abound, grace will much more abound. And my love is going to be so great that nothing can get between me and you and that love. Nothing. Never again. My love is going to take care of it. Gone. The stone is rolled back. Gone. And the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For it's gone. Oh, for death triumphed, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. He's alive.
We're going to sing it like this now.
Oh, it's gone. The heart of stone's been rolled back. Gone. This fleshly tomb made out of the dust. Gone. To sit at my Father's side. For I'm gone.
Passed from death unto life.
Gone, can't sin no more. Can't sin no more, the law's gone. Transgression. Bruised for my iniquity, the chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes I'm healed. So I'm gone. The heart of stone is rolled back. Life abundantly, resurrected from the dead. The new creature, sitting at the right hand of the Father. The body of the Lord Jesus Christ in his presence. We made it. I said we made it. I said we made it. Somebody says, how do you know? Because the Bible said, Jacob have I loved before he was ever born. Having done no work, that it might be stand and we could give glory to him because he'd done all the work. He'd done all the work. All to him I owe. He paid it all. Somebody say hallelujah. Don't you feel like in heaven? If you don't, you need to come up hither. The voice said, John, come up hither. Was in the spirit on the Lord's day. You believe this is the day? For it's gone. All the death triumphed. Sin is defeated, no sin, no death. We're going to sing this little chorus. This is the day. This is the day, said John, is in the Spirit on the Lord's day. That the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad. Can you rejoice in it? Can you rejoice in it? This is the day. Since Calvary, this is the day. This is the day of his rest. We're not waiting for the millennium. We're not waiting for the millennium. Christ has already come to us. We're already translated into the kingdom. That's for the Jews. Lord has made, one more time. So this is the day. Are you in the Spirit? The Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I'll be glad in it. This is the day the Lord hath made. Can you rejoice in it? Glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day. Let's give him a hand, can you? Gotta sing one more chorus here. Give me that old time religion. Old time. See, religion ain't so bad, is it? Religion ain't so bad if you know what it's all about. Oh, give me that old. The old time religion. Not the modern. That's vomit on his table. It's good to eat. I want that old. See, this religion, it's old time. It goes way back to Calvary. Way back to the days of the apostles. Way back when Joshua made the sun stand still. I want that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Good ain't that for me. You'd better get the old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion, the only kind that'll do. Got that old time religion. Old time religion. Oh, I'm going to ask Brother Richard Stafford to come and dismiss us, if you will. Oh, get that old time religion. Old time religion. Old time religion. Only kind that'll do. If that's taken us all the glory, taken us all the glory, it's taken us all to glory. Somebody says, where's glory? On the inside of you, the kingdom of God, from glory to glory, it's breaking out into that body. That body's dead, but it's resurrected in the sight of Jesus. And it's going to return. One of these days, it's the right hand of the Father. And all of a sudden, this wonderful glory on the inside of you is going to break forth, altering the countenance of your fashion as it did Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you'll know that Brother Pike told you the truth, that you already have this. Remember, before a flower blossoms, it's already got the sap in it. It's already got the life in it. It's waiting for its season, and the little petals will begin to bloom, and the interlife will push its way out. And the sweet smell, as of the sweet shrubs and the roses, the flowers and the honeysuckles will fill the air. And the little birds will start chirping. You know the angels? They're all around you. Birds represent angels. Soon the flowers come forth in springtime. Solomon said the poppies put forth their little faces. See, the angels start singing. I can hear them singing already. Can't you hear the bells now ringing? Can't you hear the angels singing? Hallelujah. It's that glory. Hallelujah. Jubilee. How do you know Pentecost means Jubilee? It's that glory. Hallelujah. Jubilee. You ever got the Holy Ghost? You believe in Pentecost? Hallelujah. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. I want that old.